Hi everyone, I'm Joan.
And I'm Susanna.
And welcome to the Sisterhood podcast in conjunction with the Rose of Sharon Ministry, where we are focused on the challenges that life brings whilst walking the pilgrim's journey in Christ.
As counseling therapists, we understand the struggles that women face along life's path, a journey that can often be lonely.
So let's journey together and explore the origins of the issues faced, but with self-compassion. And why?
So we can increase our self-awareness and our need to establish healthy boundaries.
Proverbs 25, verse 11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." So, what does this mean?
I know a word to edify and nourish your soul. So the topic that we're going to look at today is, so what happens when life becomes challenging, when it doesn't work out the way that you planned it?
People can get disappointed. So, what are some of life's challenges? Relationship issues, sickness, work and finances, church trauma.
These challenges can manifest themselves in such various ways like depression, anxiety, loneliness, isolation, stress, and potentially resulting in medication.
We are going to explore how these challenges, if any, can impact life.
We have a guest today who may share their experience, which some may find triggering.
Our guest today is a CBT psychotherapist, counselor, lecturer, and a minister of the gospel. She has over 25 years of experience dealing with issues such as anxiety, abandonment, abuse, bereavement, depression. Please welcome Minister Janeth Salaby.
Hi everyone, good to be here.
Thank you, and we are so glad that you're able to join us. So, Minister Janet, or shall we call you counselor, therapist?
Just Janet would do.
Okay, so looking at the topics that we have regarding what happens when life becomes a real challenge and it doesn't work out the way that you planned it. You've seen some of the areas that Joan touched on. What's your take on that?
When I saw the list, all those areas for anyone could be challenging. All those areas would have an impact on them. All those areas will cause some kind of distress and all the things. And I'll just repeat, like relationship, sickness, work and finances, church trauma, church hurt, it would have a great impact on anyone that has experienced this. And it takes time to come to terms with the changes, take time to adjust. And it's not something that's easy, especially if it's something out of the blue and it's just gonna hit you. It just hit you. So how do you navigate a new road, how you navigate or start a new life. When you think about relationships, a divorce, how do you restart? Finances, lose your job unexpectedly through redundancy. What do you do then? You have no savings, what are you going to do? So, and the impact of it just reminded me of COVID. Where so many millions all of a sudden overnight just made redundant, just getting a phone call, no longer required, just getting a phone call, we have to close down. And that was a great, that COVID itself, sorry, had a great impact on everyone in every area. And as I read that, the trauma, we're still dealing with it today, 5 years later. We're still dealing with the trauma of the lockdown and COVID. So, yeah, the impact of things, these areas does affect, and it takes a lot of adjustment.
Okay. Joan, do you want to come in here? Is there anything you want to say?
Yeah, just picking up on that theme, Minister Janeth, in your experience as a psychotherapist, how would you tackle the impact of something like COVID? Because it covered all sorts of relationships which we've put in the list, and then maybe, you know, from your the aspect of, as a minister, how would you approach that?
I'll give you a bit of background. I was one of those that was affected by a phone call. Sorry, but, you know, no longer required. And that was within hours of a meeting with my workplace. They said, okay, we've gone into lockdown, because my job was to, I was an assessor at the time. So I had to visit locations. And as we know, that was out of the question. So we had a team meeting and they said, if you get a phone call by 2 o'clock, that means you've been gone, you've been put into furlough. Mm-hmm. After the meeting, I was, no, ain't gonna happen to me, I'm okay. Then I got the phone call.
Wow.
That was a shock. And it was like, what? Because they had warned us, you get the phone call, do nothing more, because your account is going to be closed down. And when I heard the phone ring, saw that it was from the organization, I was actually on the computer working. And wow. I'd been halfway in. And like I said, it was a shock. And that was just an example of that. So I felt that.
I was just going to say, so you didn't see it coming.
No.
And that must have felt, when you say shock, I mean, I can imagine that not only were you shocked mentally, but physically, as you said, you were literally at your computer working, and then suddenly you're told to stop everything. Mm. And it's almost like that you don't exist. So when we talk about COVID and we talk about the things that happened within that time and the trauma, it wasn't just relationships that were lost. Finances were lost. There was so much loss.
Mm.
Heavy.
Mm. One of the major things that, if we remember as well, people lost businesses, people lost homes, people became homeless, the divorce rate skyrocketed. So in looking at that as an era, I mean, I saw it on the news, and they were talking about 5 years. It happened 5 years ago for some people. It was yesterday.
Yeah.
As a psychotherapist, that's when my practice increased, because people were coming in. They needed help. We had the isolation, the loneliness. We had the, especially in the churches. Now, people in the churches, they're used to the fellowship. They're used to going to church. They're used to getting in the car or walking to the church or preparing themselves, and now have to adjust to, what do I do? I can't see my church sister, my church brother, the church children. What I used to do at church, I'm not doing anymore. And the thing with that is, very often we had the elders doing those duties, the elders going to prepare the church, the elders cleaning, the elders tidying, the elders giving the... It was a major adjustment, and it affected a lot of people. It affected a lot of isolation that resulted in people dying. Mm. A lot of readjustment. You can't go for your walk. Remember, there was that time where you could only go for an hour's walk or something like that, or just out the road and back in. It was, all I can use is horrible. Because when I'm told by clients how it affected them, it has a major impact. It resulted in some being traumatized. Traumatized as in, even today, can't leave their house because they're stuck in COVID. You have some that developed health anxiety. You have some, and you see them on the street even today, still wearing the mask. They're still stuck in that time. So
I'm wondering.
Carry on.
Oh, go on, go on.
So the impact of a time like that, as I said, okay, yeah, I was out of a job. I needed a job. I needed the money. I needed to grow my practice. But it's how it affected people. And like I said, today, it still affects them, because other than the health anxiety, other than the depression, other than the trauma that many have suffered, other than losing relationships, other than the deaths that they had to deal with, the grief all of a sudden, and a lot of the cultures, they have a certain way of grieving. My culture, for instance, you grieve together, and being told you can't, only, what was it, 10 can attend. What on earth was that? We don't do that. We have what you call nine night. We have wakes. We have food. We have drinks. We have camaraderie. We laugh. We talk. There's games. There's dancing. And you're telling us we cannot do that. That is part of our grief. And that was gone. And again, that traumatized many.
One question I have for you, though, is I think it's going back to the question that Joan asked originally. How did you personally navigate the sense of, even though the doors opened with regards to more clients coming in, how did you navigate that situation, being told that it is no more what you've been doing? That sense of structure that you had in your workplace, and suddenly it's no more. Knowing what you know and the skills that you have, were you able to implement any of those skills?
I suppose, and that's the thing with counselling, psychotherapy. We have to take the person as the individual. Now, for me, I'm very much one that bounce back. I don't sit in the problem. I start solving. I start looking at what can I do. Can't stay here. So that was me. That was how I dealt with it. Okay, this problem has occurred. What do I do now? I'm not going to cry, which I never did. Never did, concerning COVID hitting. I didn't cry. I didn't look at it any other way other than, yeah, okay, it's a problem. Let me get on with it. Another life problem. Been through many. This is another. Let's see, I'm going to get through this. And honestly, and I'm stressing this, and I cannot stress this more, as an individual, and this is how I work, I went straight to the problem solving. Others don't do that. Others are taken back. Others are still holding their breath. And like I said, others are still stuck in COVID. But what I did was, what next? And that's when I went on to the computer and just started to do what I needed to do to survive, to get money going and rolling back. So that's how I operated during that time. It's going to sound bad, but this, again, I cannot stress it more, was me. Is me. I didn't have time to grieve over the loss of a job. I didn't have time to say, okay, I've been in the job this long, I've made this friend, I've spoken to that one, etc., etc. I just had to get on with it, because as a single person living on her own, there's nobody to talk to. I just got up, got on the computer, started to look for new jobs, new avenues. And again, one of the things that I started to do was to expand and to advertise more, because that's when people were really, really affected.
Kristen, do you think having a sense of self, an understanding of the sense of who you were, and validating some of those things, being aware of what those are, helped you to move forward, regaining your profession and actually opening new lines or streams of income and, you know, new lines of interest.
Mm. I know that during that time, one of the things that I had to get used to and really draw on inner strength was to step out, was to be able to speak, because I got quite a few invitations to speak concerning what was happening, how people were coping, giving them tools to help themselves during that time. So I know a lot of speaking engagements came up, and I know that I've always referred to myself as being shy and reserved, always, you know, laid back and kind of the wallflower, so to speak. But I know that during that time, I had to step out, and that was very, very scary. That was hard work. However, some of it, I didn't have a choice. I just had to go with it. And, you know, as you mentioned, I'm very much one to seek God's face. Lord, you're going to have to help me with this one. You're going to have to give me the spirit of boldness. You're going to have to tell me what to say. I don't know. And that's when my dependency kicked in. I needed him so much during that time. For companionship, for direction, for telling me what to do, next steps, all those things. I leaned on him even greater than I did before.
And did you find because that's the question I was going to ask you, how much of your faith then came into play when that happened? But did you find that leaning on the Lord and making him your stronghold, that you found things out about yourself, the giftings that you had in you that you didn't realize that you had, that you were then able to implement in a different way?
Yeah, because one of the things that I started to do, and what I found helped me as well as others, was because as you all know, the introduction of the remote teaching using Skype, using Zoom, using Teams, using telephone, that just rocketed. So I was no longer in a room. I had to be online. And that was strange. That was different. But again, it's the strength and the seeking his face. How do I do this? I'm not great at IT. I had to learn. I had to learn kind of trial and error. And but again, because there was no one, who could I depend on? Who could I talk to? Because I found myself saying often, as I even do today, it's like it's embedded into me. Even when I'm using IT and I don't know what to do, I say, Lord, what do I do? Lord, how do I do this? And you just put something in my spirit to say, look for this word, or go to Google, look at this. And every time it's worked. So when I say the closeness, the dependency, it increased overnight. It had to, because it was me and him, and that was it.
So in a way, you know, we talked about relationships and we talked about the loss of relationships, but your relationship with the Lord then increased.
100%, 100%, yeah. You know, and the Bible says, I think it's in Isaiah 58, it talks about him being our husband. He's our husband, he's a husband to Israel. And that's who it became. Again, the times when we couldn't even go out to the shop, everything was done online. I know I'm reminiscing, but I'm really, even reminiscing, it's still shocking to know that we came through that. We had to live through that. And we had to get used to things that were foreign to us. And just remembering it, remembering how for me to get food, I had to go online, and I remember dad, mum, no, it was dad. I had to do the same for him. I'm in Nottingham, he's in London, and I had to start ordering food for him online. Now that was a distance, but I know I weren't the only one. And I again had to navigate that. Again, it's two different accounts. Again, it's understanding what he needed. Again, it's, making sure I get the right things. And if you remember rightly, there were some things we couldn't even get, I'm going back a bit, but it still today has an impact. We are free today. We can do what we want, but just the memory and the trauma, and like I said, that was a time that for me very often is like it was yesterday. It hasn't gone out my system. I still remember it because I suppose I put myself in a place that I tried to help others get through it, help others that were grieving, help others that were actually in the battlefield. They were, I was going to say prisoners, and in a way they were, the nurses, the doctors, when they were in the midst of seeing it all and having to watch and had to adjust themselves. I remember talking to one that still had the imprint on her face because she'd just come off her shift, the PPE. And it's those things that just embed in your mind and you just can't get it out. And like the question you ask is, remember a challenge. And that in recent years was the greatest. It hasn't gone from me, hasn't gone from the clients. Because like I said, the impact is still there. The what it has left us with, it's still in our system. The children having to go from, I'm going to see my classmate tomorrow at school, to working off a computer, talking to the teacher through a computer. And it's those things that impact family, impacts parents, impacts everyone. And major challenge for me in my years was that. I don't know if I'm answering your question, but
It's you have kind of covered that in the sense that you're actually talking about these were challenges and things people had planned were completely obliterated. But not only that, there was trauma associated with it, and you've really explained well how where the trauma comes from and how it's associated with it. But you also explained very well, I think, how for yourself as a believer, as a minister, what you drew upon. So I'll ask the question to ask you, because as Marcia had said, about how you were able to get through it, and you said it's an individual thing, but what would you offer to other believers when these sorts of challenges come? What would you offer to them in terms of what they should do, where they should go, where they should draw from?
That was the thing during that time, because of can I use the word division, dividing line between everyone, the distance, you had that 2 meter thing when we finally could enter into a shop. Even today it remains. Even today. And one of the things that was a great impact on everyone was that division, was that dividing line. Because research shows that having someone close, someone who can touch, the warmth of someone, holding hands, hugging, to seeing their face in the natural, has an impact on our mental health, has an impact on our emotion. Now you've taken that away. The impact of that on the person is detrimental to them. That was one of the biggest things that was found, because you're now distancing people from that emotional interaction. And one of the things that we learned during COVID was that many churches closed down. And many of them haven't even recovered. Many went online to survive. What I would say to help those that are in that situation, and even now as counselors, I'm sure you find the same thing, in that people are saying, I'm lonely, I'm on my own, there's no one to talk to, and I can pick up the phone, but it's not the same. That one thing for me still today has a detrimental effect, because a lot of the young people that were at school, they're still living like that. They're still living in that distance from people. Even parents, the distance, because now that they're at uni, now they're finishing uni, and they've still got that distance because it's embedded. It's their formative years. And it's, how do you remedy that for someone? How do you go from telling them, you can't touch me, you can't come close, stay 2 meters away, I've got this screen in front of me so that you cannot come in my face, I've got my mask on, you've got your mask on, just stay away. That was the statement. That was the message that was being given. So how do we now start to heal? How do we tell someone that, okay, that was yesterday, let's kind of readjust? That's all I know. Remember our formative years, which was the years that these children were going through, and that is what is embedded in them. I cannot go close, I cannot touch, I cannot be part of this person, because that's what I was taught. How many years did we go through that? How many years did we put those children through that? How long did they have to be in that place, locked up in their room, just with a computer to face? No human interaction, no closeness, no holding hands. And that is one of the greatest and hardest things to help someone get through, because what you have to do now is to teach them the warmth of a human, the touch of a human, that not to be scared of it. You're not going to catch something or die. The fear that's developed from it, how do you now start to help them? How do you start to help them readjust to a new way, when that was what they've been told all their life?
And another thing coming from that is that, with regards to the social isolation that they were experiencing, the social media became the friend. See some clients that their children literally go everywhere with their phone. Phone is, it's almost like it's embedded within them, because that was the communication that they had, was the phone. I mean, just to let you know that we're coming up to we've got about, and I'd say, about 5 or 6 minutes left. I don't know if there's anything else, Joan, that you wanted to bring into the conversation. So many nuggets that you've spoken about already with regards to how we're still going through it. And something that you said that was very on point for me was that you said that social isolation is still there. Psychologically, it's still there, it still presents itself, you know. And that for me was something that is sort of a takeaway when I'm thinking about the clients that I work with, but also just the way people are in general when you're close to them. Or, you know, it sometimes I've been in the supermarket and somebody, I've seen people that are too close And the person will turn around as to say, what are you doing? You're in my space, you know? So that's, it's still playing out. It's still playing out. It's still on people's minds. And as you said, walking alongside somebody, trying to say that it's okay now. It's okay. You don't have to wear the mask. You don't have to be in the cage, even if it's not a physical cage. It's almost like some people have trapped themselves into a cage, an imaginary cage. I mean, Joan, did you want to say anything?
What was interesting about, you know, the whole issue about the isolation and even the technology, as you said, Mr. Janice, that the technology became the friend. With the rise of people feeling that it's okay to go to dinner with their phone.
Wow, yes.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm one of them.
And I'm guilty of it as well. Unfortunately.
You're very correct in doing that. And one of the things is that they don't realise they're still stuck in COVID. A lot of people don't realise it. And that's where the counselling, that's where the psychotherapy comes to help them readjust, help them readjust their behaviour, their thought process, the emotions. And I think for me, the greatest thing and the hardest thing for them to come out of is the emotional side, because everything that affected them resulted in some kind of emotion, whether it's a negative one or a positive one. And very often the negative one includes fear, and that fear has stayed. Mm-hmm. It has stayed there.
Wow. Oh, well, there was so much that we could have spoken about within this podcast, that, you know, touching on all areas of COVID, because we didn't even talk about, you know, that the things that people went through when they're all stuck together in a home and the abuse. There's so much that we could delve into, but I think, you know, that hearing what you've said and how you personally cope with it, and how you are still playing it forward in the clients that you're working with, trying to walk alongside them, trying to be there for them, trying to show them and give them techniques and tools, how they can facilitate change, physical change, mental change. You know, it's really, really important. And I think that it's been really good for our first podcast. I'm really happy that we were able to just sit with you to be able to go through the first topic, which is, what do you do when things don't work out the way that you planned them? And I think you really broke it down in so many different areas, and the areas of everything that we spoke about, the relationships, the sickness, the work and the finance, even the church trauma. You spoke about the fact that, you know, it was the elders that went and they cleaned the church and they did put the chairs out and all of these things that were taken from us. In all of the things that we've spoken about, there was loss. For me, that's what I'm picking up on, was that sense of loss. You know, and working with clients, we look at loss a lot. If it's loss in a job, relationship, a loved one, loss is something that we all experience. I don't know if you wanted to say anything, Joan, before we pray.
I would just agree, because really, you know, I know COVID was quite a focus in this podcast, but it's true, because there were so many areas of loss, and loss is also a theft of something, as it were, and you know, control of that. And so, it, you know, all your plans came to an abrupt halt. So it was really very important what Mr. Janice said. And like you said, there were so many threads that we could pick up and look at in another podcast to help us address those. Because I think many people are still trapped. It needs to be unpacked. It needs to be addressed so people can be set free.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for
We need
inviting
to
me.
do one major important thing. Pray.
Amen.
Would you like to pray us out, Minister Janet?
Amen. Okay, I'll do that. Glory to God in the highest. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for speaking to us, Lord God. Thank you for this podcast, Lord. I pray right now, Lord God, that it will reach those, Lord God, that need the encouragement, that need to know there's a way out, that need to know that there is a tomorrow. Whether they're stuck, Lord God, whether they're in a place of grief, whether they're in a place of fear, whatever, Lord God, has grip them at what has attached itself to them, for them to know there is help. I thank you for your daughters, Lord God, Minister Joan, Lord God, and Minister Marsha, Lord God. And I pray right now, Lord, that you continue bless them, continue anoint them, Lord God, as they go forward with this podcast, reaching many women, reaching, Lord God, and helping them work through any difficulties, any challenges that they may be faced right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Sisters in Talk podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening to the discussion as much as we enjoyed taking part in it. If you'd like to find out more, you can contact us on our Linktree at Rose Ministry, or you can follow us on Instagram at Rose Education. See you next time. Keep safe. God bless.